Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to conservation and careful management of the state's forests to make them more resilient and better habitats for wildlife. Choosewood.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Similar to Flint, Michigan, the EPA appointed a special coordinator to address the ongoing sewer and water issues in Cahokia Heights last fall. Beth Murphy is that coordinator.
I'm very hopeful that we're approaching a snowball type phase where we'll see, you know, small groups of projects getting off the ground, which will lead to larger, more robust projects.
A conversation with Murphy about what she's learned in nearly 6 months on the job and what's needed to solve the chronic issues in Cahokia Heights, that's coming up on The Gateway. Bird flu has now been found in dairy cattle in 8 states in the U.S., including Texas, Kansas, Michigan, Ohio, and South Dakota. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on how the Midwest dairy industry is responding.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture thinks cows are getting sick after exposure to wild migrating birds who have avian influenza. So far, the virus seems to result in mild cases for the cattle. And in impacted herds, only about 10% of cattle get sick. Sean Cornelius is a dairy farmer in northwest Missouri and says he's watching this closely.
Farm owners, farm managers are definitely keeping in touch with their veterinarians and other resources to understand how the situation is evolving. Not really alarmed by it, but being very vigilant.
The USDA says milk is safe to drink because the pasteurization process kills bacteria and viruses. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Lead poisoning is taking a toll on the health of American bald eagles. Nearly half of the eagles in a 2022 study tested positive for lead. Tamara Yarger is the founder of Hog Capital Wildlife Rescue and Rehab in Kewaunee, Illinois. She says the impacts are heartbreaking.
Their function shut down, their digestive system. It can affect their retinas. It can do neurological damage. I mean, there's so much that we have to fight.
Lead ammunition and fishing sinkers are two of the primary culprits. Yarger says eagles are opportunistic eaters and often ingest lead while feeding from deer gut piles left by hunters. She says using lead-free ammo and disposing of the remains of deer killed by lead bullets are ways hunters can protect the eagles. Illinois lawmakers are trying to regulate an industry that could be taking customers out of cannabis dispensaries. Alex Degman reports.
Hemp products sold in Illinois are not regulated. A measure from Democratic State Senator Kimberly Lightford would establish standards for licensing, testing, labeling, and safety. Delta 8 products would effectively be banned. Delta 8 is a synthetic compound that mimics marijuana, but because it's derived from hemp, can be sold at places like gas stations. There are no age restrictions. Tiffany Chappelle Ingram, executive director of the Cannabis Business Association of Illinois, says hemp should be regulated like marijuana.
You know, you can't have runaway potency. There's certain ingredients you can use. There's certain testing protocols. There's tracing that's involved. All of those things to keep the product safe.
The measure was just filed this week. It's still waiting for a committee assignment. I'm Alex Degman.
A combined $850,000 worth of Route 66-themed projects are coming to Southwest Illinois by the end of the summer. Those are in preparation for the historic highway's 100th anniversary in 2026. The Alton-based Great Rivers and Routes Tourism Bureau is doling out the thousands of dollars in grants from the state. Corey Jobe is the president and CEO of Great Rivers and Routes.
The intent of that is really to spark redevelopment of historic sites and attractions, help small business owners create roadside attractions or unique stops to keep travelers staying in Illinois longer, spending more dollars before they move on west on the route.
In all, there are 6 projects receiving grant money. Jobe says he's anticipating an uptick in international travelers along the highway for the big anniversary. Last fall, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency appointed a federal coordinator to oversee the response to Cahokia Heights' ongoing sewer and water issues. The inaugural coordinator is EPA scientist Beth Murphy. She'll leave the position at the end of this month. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer talked with Murphy about what she's learned in her roughly 6 months on the job.
It took a great deal of time coming on board in October to sort of get my feet underneath me, to understand all of the players and the stakeholders working in and towards these goals of improved water infrastructure and improved flood mitigation. By far and large, we are all like working together in the same direction. The biggest lesson learned and the largest deliverable that I have been working on in the past several months, it's a collection of information, creating a one-stop shop, if you will, of information to be shared transparently across all stakeholders of points of contact, federal, state, and local funding opportunities, technical assistance and grant writing workshops and opportunities to understand how to apply for grants. And very importantly, the list of existing projects, both that are being contemplated, have been completed, or are in search of funding.
You mentioned Congresswoman Budzinski a moment ago, and she obviously made the request for your position. She represents the area in Congress. And she said that hangups or delays in getting funding flowing to start construction and starting to solve some of these infrastructure issues had been one of the reasons why she had asked for the position. Is that kind of your understanding of it?
That's certainly part of it. And I do think that there's a little bit of assistance fatigue that some of our communities may be experiencing. They're overwhelmed by the work of serving their residents, the work of finding funding, the work on the ground of improving and fixing broken pipes on a day-to-day basis. We're hoping that this matrix and this sort of more direct connection between unfunded projects and available funding will aid those cities in finding the resources that they need.
What funding gaps, if there are any, have you identified for the problems that this community faces? Or maybe what does this community still need to address the ongoing issues?
The goal is to draw connections to, you know, bill money or other federal opportunities through FEMA or Illinois EPA to begin to fill those gaps. But that's going to have to come in combination with the development of project plans and scopes of work and an understanding of the projects that need to be completed.
Maybe another thing that I hear from residents or another qualm, and that is that even after construction has started on some of these pump stations and sewer breaks that they've begun construction on this year, the neighborhoods on the north side of town that kind of have had historically the worst problems, they still have some problems. What would you say to those concerns?
First, I'd like to offer some understanding. I can't imagine living in with some of the experiences that these residents routinely have experienced. My only offer is that, similar to the renovation of a home, for example, it's an iterative process. And as you begin to open walls or open roads to look for pipes, sometimes additional concerns or more egregious repairs become necessary. I believe that the municipalities, the states, the governments, the federal agencies are all working in good faith towards trying to do the best. And there's no way that things could be done overnight. And I'm hopeful that those services are coming. It is, unfortunately, a large and rather slow process, which I know can be very frustrating.
That was the federal EPA coordinator for Cahokia Heights, Beth Murphy. She spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.